Beginnings from the Mediation and Family Counseling Group. I'm Dana Greco. I'm family and couples therapist and certified mediator.
And I'm Don DeRoche.
Yes, you
also
are.
Also a certified mediator. And Dana, we have a great guest today.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, so we have Chris DiMaggio here who... He's also a certified mediator, and he's coined the phrase manufactured deadbeat dad. And Chris, I don't know when that phrase came in, but let me just introduce Chris. He has a BA degree from Hunter's Teachers College in Health and Family Education, and a master's from NYU in Family and Sex Education, which kind of goes into our next show next week, which we'll be talking about sex some more.
I'll get ready for that.
Yeah, we do love talking about sex here. So let's get into it a little bit. You know, maybe you talk about how you coined the phrase or when it first came.
Where did that come from?
Okay,
it sounds like derogative. I'm getting a derogative.
Well, the manufactured term comes from what happens to you when you're in the system and the legal system and the child support collection agencies create that for you. It's a place that you don't really want to be in, but you become that because the system provides it for you.
Right, so it basically is manufactured by the courts.
So you're saying that you're taking some of these men, you feel that they have been unjustly accused of being deadbeats when really they're not. The system is labeling them as such.
I don't like to be all inclusive. Of course, there are some deadbeats that exist out there, but the great percentage, and I'm afraid I don't know the accurate number to this, but I have met thousands of people who fell into this category, became deadbeat and became behind in their child support obligation simply because they couldn't manage the court system or the laws that preside before them.
Right. Now, one of the things that I did before the show is I looked up deadbeat because, you know, we all know it's a slang term, deadbeat.
It's been used
for other things, right? So one who does not pay one's debts is one, and a lazy person, a loafer.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess one of the questions that I have, does this term include moms? Does deadbeat dads include moms?
Well, the term was given to dads primarily because most of the custody was given to women.
Moms.
To moms.
But that was in a tender years doctrine.
It started during the Depression when men had to leave their families because they couldn't provide for them. And fortunately, it was a cowardly thing to do, but they did leave their wives and their children high and dry. Out of pride, would you say, they couldn't face their families because they weren't providing for them? You think there was some sort of feeling of despair and shame about it?
And were they a deadbeat at that point? Would you consider them a deadbeat? Because
Not at that time.
Here the definition of deadbeat is one who does not pay one's debts.
When they know they owe and they choose not to.
It's an obligation.
Choosing is a willingness. You're saying a willingness, but what I'm saying is they can't. I think it's two different things.
There's three different things.
Because why? Why can't they pay their debts? Let's just stick with the child support. Why can't they pay the child support? What's happening? What is it?
There's job losses. There's also illnesses. There's also a myriad of examples. The manufactured deadbeat is also created by those in the military who have to be there when you have to go away, far away for another job, and the compliance level is altered or modified because of the existence of your job. You get carried into this deadbeat category. So the person who is behind in child support could be any and all of those things. What's bad is the narrative is carried that the deadbeat dad is carried forward for many years, and it's unfortunately tainted everyone else's view.
Right. Well, that's become the feeling now, right? It's like this is what people feel. Now, it's almost like we created this thing years ago. And now it's everybody is like, oh, my God, another deadbeat dad.
The reason for having it, was definitely a problem years ago also. But they couldn't categorize it back then. They didn't have the nature. They just thought that people weren't fulfilling their obligations.
So what would happen if they remained in the house, right? They married.
That's
and
a great question.
And he lost his job.
I think
would he still be a deadbeat?
Well,
No, because he wouldn't be paying child support.
He wouldn't have to pay child support, but he wouldn't be providing for the family either. He's just in the home.
Exactly.
So that means that she's out working.
Well, you know
somebody
what's happening now? I mean, there's situations now where that actually is happening, where, you know, the breadwinner is losing
the
their job.
The modern marriage is more women working and
right.
the dads are home.
Well, that's one thing,
too. Is he still a deadbeat?
But my point also is the fact of if the breadwinner loses the job, what's ending up happening now is they're going into foreclosure on the house. They go into foreclosure. Like, that's what's happening. That's why they're creating these laws to say, like, okay, New York State can't foreclose. Now it's 3 years by the time they can foreclose on your house.
But is that because the mom isn't going to work? Why isn't she able to,
the breadwinner lost their income,
but then
the other person can't make enough to cover the bills. So they'd rather pay for the food.
Right,
to
pay
eat
for their monthly expenses.
Instead of the house. So, like you said before, they considered a deadbeat. They're not paying their bill. I mean, why don't they have a deadbeat program for foreclosures? Like, whoever's in foreclosure, say, hey, let's create a website for deadbeat people who aren't paying their mortgages.
Because it carries a bigger weight that you would be irresponsible to your children than it would be to your home, your possession, or something you get value out of. Because your children need your cooperation, they need their financial support, they need
right.
all that.
You're talking about a situation where the person left the house and they left the family. I'm talking about like a situation where the family is intact. They're still at the house, but they're not paying the mortgage.
Are you saying why aren't they calling them deadbeat?
Right. Why don't the mortgage companies call them deadbeats?
The children, I think, are the primary reason. You can gain more support legislation if you go up and say, well, here's the children, and they're not being taken care of.
Yeah, well, isn't there a saying from Hitler? He's like, if you control the children, you control the family.
Yeah.
You control the parents.
Right.
And you control society.
Yeah.
So that was something that Hitler thought.
And that's why it's so much easier to get legislation through. If you hold the children up as these are the people who are going to be affected, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, should we be sympathetic to the men that can't pay their child support?
The best way to handle this in one fell swoop is to disregard the narrative, which is nearly impossible. But you have
you mean
to forget.
The narrative like deadbeat.
Yeah. It's a story, isn't it? It's a story. Yeah. Somebody's obligated to pay support to take care of the kids, and they're not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And absolutely right. And, I saw situations where they're trying to figure out now, you know, how to get these people to pay. And I heard the story just recently. They were putting in the pictures of the dads on pizza boxes.
Right.
And I forget, I think it was Pennsylvania. I don't even remember where it was. But in the pizza places, they were putting on the boxes pictures of dads.
Right. To shame them.
To shame them.
You know, here's a quote. It takes a man to raise a child, and it takes a little boy to make a baby. Mm. All right, let that sink in for a minute. But
okay.
All right, so it takes a man.
Should we
silence
for a minute?
I don't, you know, you guys are a little slow, so I'll give you a little extra time. You are men, so I'll give you a little extra time.
Okay.
What do you need, 3 days? All right, so that's the point. It's like, are they men or are they boys?
Yes.
It really, when they don't pay child support, you pretty much can determine the character of the man.
Right, that's true.
And the way I see it is that if you're not going to pay child support, who needs you? You've basically shown me who you are as a person. And, I mean, I'm sorry to say, but there is a reason, like, then, you know, maybe they don't want them around their children, right? There's a reason why, you know, might be the moms will alienate. Because look who you are.
Right,
you
but
know,
it's not...
You're a man of...
The difference is that they should not be making that choice. That's the difference. It shouldn't be one parent making the choice that the other parent shouldn't be in a life. It's like, you know, it's kind of like... Even a dad, like if a dad says, oh, the mom shouldn't be in their life, it's not up to the dad to say that either. Either side should not be.
Well, and I don't promote parent alienation, but again, if the family was intact and the dad was home taking care of the family and the children,
right,
then he would be providing something of value to the children, right? Rather than money, he's providing, you know, nurturing.
If I could just interrupt for a second about my sex education 101, but men are men and women are women, and we think differently about what responsibilities we have. Women being primarily, and I'm going to say primarily, even though the world is changing slightly, nest builders in their process. Men are builders and protectors and providers.
Mm-hmm.
So what your claim is that a man being a provider isn't giving you what you want is a standard broken. It's a broken standard. It's a common element in the initial drive of a man and a woman.
But the man is also raised to be, I mean, one of your primal, you know, needs is to be industrious.
Resourceful, yeah.
Industrious. So what happens to a man when that isn't happening, when they can't provide.
Especially in America.
They don't feel like a man.
Right.
They don't feel good, right?
They don't feel good. The man
and
anymore.
And that's the reason
it's
why
very
you're going,
shameful
you're going
them.
Back to the Depression when they were leaving because it was shameful for
Absolutely.
Them not to be able to support.
So that's why I asked you earlier, should we be sympathetic to these men?
So we're just making them more shameful by calling them deadbeats and putting them on pictures
and
on
then,
websites.
Anything, and we should empower them to say, well, what else can you do for the family?
As a mediator, I'm hearing both of you and I'm listening. I'm wondering, where am I going with this? Because I think you're touching on very important elements that a couple ordinarily would have, and that is you're standing on one platform and you're standing on the other,
right,
Dana. And what I'm hearing is that you can't come to grips with that one issue is because of who you are. I mean, that's what happens to me as a listener.
Right, sure, absolutely.
I think we could all benefit by knowing who we are first before we get involved in a relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. So
well, the thing is also, it's like, you know, you're talking about the shame, right? It's like I saw situations where the, you know, this judge, he's putting the guy into jail, and he's saying, you're not coming out of jail until you pay child support.
And now
it's like,
completely,
what?
Yeah, but didn't you read the 13th Amendment?
Yes, well, you did. You brought that up.
No one should, no, it's unlawful. It's against their rights to be jailed for a debt that they owe.
Right. I mean, that's in the 13th Amendment. But this is the difference. What the courts did, and I don't think this even gets around it, but they do get around it. They call it contempt of court. So it's not because of the debt. It's because of contempt. But for me, the contempt is there because of the debt. So indirectly, it's the same thing. So I think people have to really push that point.
You know what really...
It's more than indirect. It's direct. It ultimately is direct.
It is. So why do they get away with this? How can they incarcerate somebody when in the 13th Amendment it says you can't do that?
That's why you have a good lawyer, and the lawyer points that out.
It's a civil
because
right.
Because one, yeah.
You
one
have to get to the federal level. I'm almost thinking you have to get to the federal level, maybe.
But lawyers can't control that dollar value. The dollar value is a fixed percentage, and it can't be removed.
Yeah, but that's the other problem I think I'm having. Yeah. And I realize that, you know, some of these expenses for the child are just over the top, right?
Well,
some of the money that
accountable.
Goes to
they're not held accountable to that money.
They need to be accountable. I mean, I know that the money isn't going to the children directly. It's going to the lifestyle of the mother.
Well, let's just say an example of what you've done in the past. You're not making your ex pay child support. He pays
towards the mortgage mortgage, and he doesn't even pay all the mortgage.
Right.
But in the
part
end,
the
he's getting that back.
He's getting equity in the apartment.
It's an investment. He's getting back when you get child support. He
deduction.
Just wrote me a check every month.
Right.
He would never get that back, and he doesn't even need receipts to prove what I've
so
used it for.
So you're being fair to him.
He's making money off of his child support. You know, he doesn't even get it.
Right.
He's not even appreciative.
He's not appreciative of it. But I think it comes down to the fact of where I know we were talking about this before, but the fairness, you know, you're kind of always going back and forth. What's fair? What's not fair? You know,
but
am I being taken advantage of?
Right. But see, as soon as I realized that was the percentage in which he was comfortable with, then I just took that like fourth job. Like, you know me, I work constantly.
Yes,
I don't expect him to support me.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't, my own sense of pride.
Yeah.
I say, you know what? You can't pay this, and I'll add more hours to my.
I want to just
job.
Get into the mortgage a little bit, and you know, Summer Mangles is one of the people that we work with, right?
Yes.
When you were working with refinancing,
she's processing a lot of what I gave her,
yeah,
and we're just waiting to hear back from her.
Summer is actually in Melville. She works for Wells Fargo, and you could reach her at 631-752-4843, and tell you really great. She's always, you know, she cares about the situation.
You hear right back from her.
And
she's
no
on
nonsense.
The pulse.
She's no nonsense. It's like, you know, this is what I need. This is it. And
yeah,
she,
I felt really confident
explains,
working with her.
She explains everything.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
So, again, Summer Mangles from Wells Fargo in Melville, Long Island, 631-752-4843. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you confused about which diet is right for you? Are you tired of being tired? How about improving your energy, strength, and appearance? Hi, I'm Rika Keck, a holistic nutrition and wellness consultant. If you have answered yes to any of my questions, contact me now at nyintegratedhealth.com or at 646-285-8588. Initiate change and transform your life.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
And welcome back to New Beginnings, this Mediation and Family Counseling Group. And if you want to call and reach out and have a question, you can call 877-480-4120. Or you can reach us at another time at 917-662-7913. And we are here with Chris DiMaggio from FIT Mediation, Families in Transition. And the question is, how do we identify the deadbeat dad?
Right. How do you identify it? And also, I know we talked about the manufactured deadbeat dad initially, but let's kind of go on that track a little bit more. And because I know somebody wouldn't look at themselves and say, you know what, I'm a deadbeat. I'm not paying my bills. Like, you would never do that.
Does the man admit that he's a deadbeat? Can he identify with that term?
So let's talk about deadbeat and what that means and then how it's become a manufactured term.
Well, the term itself came from an article I wrote in 1997 for Suffolk Life. And it produced hundreds and hundreds of phone calls the following day and the day after that.
I'm sure it did.
Just kept on going because so many people related to the way I described it. It was a hard-hitting article.
Mm-hmm.
It spoke about what was wrong with our legislators and why they were holding it up. And the chair of the judiciary, we all know, was holding everything back then, too.
You mean Helene Weinstein?
Yes, that's the name.
Yes,
And what happened is that I discovered that they were holding back money, and that money was not being created. If a woman called, I'm saying primarily a woman, remember that's just most of where the awards were going at that time. It was 90% women coming out of New York State at that time.
Right.
And they were calling that their support was late.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to know where the money was.
Right.
And the state and the Child Support Enforcement Bureaus were so dysfunctional, as government agencies often are.
Right.
They were holding back money and they weren't distributing the money back to the mothers. So the mothers would say, where's my check? As soon as that happened, the call came in as a statistic to go forward so that government would now say, oh, there's another deadbeat, there's another deadbeat.
Right.
And they just kept score.
Yeah.
When the numbers reached a certain number, they passed it back to the federal government. We have 250 calls this week alone.
And then they write
a
check.
And we average 1,000 a month. Oh, so then we'll have to up the ante on how much money we'll give you, the state, to now collect further.
Right.
So the federal government has its hands with the state and the state back to the courts, and this whole cycle just keeps getting worse and worse. And that's how we manufacture a deadbeat.
Well, the... It's interesting. I did go up to Albany on Tuesday, and I talked to some of the legislators. I actually met with Helene Weinstein's legal counsel, and I met with a couple of the legislators, and I also met with the OTDA, which is the Office of Temporary Disability
Assistance. Did you mention my name when we're there? They know me very well.
I should have.
They don't want to see me anymore.
Yeah. But the one thing that they said is one of the incentives that they have from the federal government is that they get paid when there's an arrear.
Right.
They get paid on arrears.
That's right.
If they make one collection on an arrear, they get federal dollars.
Right. It's the same type of thing I was describing a moment ago.
Right.
No matter where the course comes from, if someone's claiming that something was missing, then that's automatically applied as a application to the federal government to pass more money down to the state.
Yeah. So the thing is, manufacturing it, you're manufacturing a deadbeat because you're basically telling him to pay something that he can't pay. That's really where you're going.
Sure. And there's also people that come out of jail and discover that they have to now pay arrears. As soon as you're in arrears, the arrears go into the notice of claim for application to the federal government.
Right. But
the state.
But the state has an incentive to now take this guy who just came out of...
It's not only the state. It's the judge who made that decision. It's the lawyer who carries the counsel. It's the court officers. It's the people in the parking lot who paved the system. Everyone's involved.
So by putting somebody in jail, they're actually creating money for themselves. They're creating a bankroll by putting somebody in jail.
Right. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. They're generating more stuff for themselves.
Wow.
Government growing all by itself.
But
what started this whole thing was to try and... hopefully keep women off of welfare.
Well, one of the things, yes, that's exactly right. In 96, when Clinton created the personal...
You can see the point of that.
Absolutely.
So hold the man responsible for providing rather than the government.
Well, my problem is with what you're saying is that you're right. So that's not a problem.
Is that a problem?
Is it? No. Well, yeah, following it, yes, is going to... Because what you're saying is that it's going to go now... Now it's going to...
But why should the government make money off of the fact that they're trying to help the government not pay welfare? So, you know what I mean? It's like they're putting their hands in both pockets.
Right.
So they're providing, they want to get the father to be responsible so that women don't depend on the government.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when the men don't pay, the government makes money.
Yes.
Right.
When they don't pay, the government makes money. Right. So by putting somebody in jail, creating arrears... You're actually then when he gets out, you're making money.
Another good way to look at this is why do you think it's a bipartisan approval now? Because they recognize it brings back money.
Mm-hmm.
They recognize this system is bringing back money.
Right.
If you suddenly have $1 billion in a float and you say, well, what do I do with this money now? That's suddenly, is here upon us.
Right.
Well, maybe I'll throw it into this instrument here to make some money back on this instrument.
Right.
And then when that money is now no longer going to the people who should be receiving it, they call back and say, where's my money? More statistics, more. It's a big, big
cycle. So what are you doing with this money, though? Is this money going back? No. Is this money going towards those?
Government.
No, but why shouldn't it go towards the one who's home with the children and helping her find work.
It does, but it's an inefficient system. But it's an inefficient system.
The federal incentives are there to increase the amount of collections in the state. That's why the federal incentives are there, to collect on this money, to help them collect on the money. That's why the incentive. So the idea is good.
It
falls short because you're now, the state's found loopholes to get more money. And plus, like Chris just said, they have float money. So now they're making interest on your money.
Right.
So, and like me, I'll just give an example for me. It's like when I started paying, they told my ex, it's going to take you probably 8 weeks before you get your money. I paid the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken her 8 weeks to get her money.
Because they got to make interest off of it.
They got to make interest
Plus,
on it.
Plus, like what happened in my case.
So I thought, what happened to the child that needs the money, though? So it's not really in the best interest of the child.
It's not in the best interest. It's about
So the kid has to wait 8 weeks to eat?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And what happened to me is I spent this additional money, which was beyond my income level. They manufactured a dollar value of income. I had an increase in my income, just so that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when the court came in and applied this dollar amount, it was at an increased level. That year that litigation was going on, because I was losing money at the time. I had lost Grumman as an account, and Grumman, when it left the area, lost a lot of income. So my income went down 40%. So I was fighting it, and they said, no, you're capable. So there's a law
that
says my earnings capability should be at this 105 level, not at the 65 I was producing at the moment.
So they'll impute the income
on you. They imputed income on
me. Right.
And I became a deadbeat because of that.
And let me just say, on top of that, just a personal experience, I tried the same thing with my ex, and they wouldn't impute the income.
Mm.
So why would they not do it for a female? But they do it for the male. Like, why is it okay to impute on the male, but not the female?
I understand lately they're being fairer and starting to impugn many females. But that's only recently.
Okay. All right.
There wasn't some listen
in
terms
of now with the status of women, okay, now we're equal, right? And we fought for this equality.
Right.
We are just as capable as working. In fact, we're working more than most men were providing.
Well, more women are coming out of college, I think.
More women are educated now.
Right.
So again, you know, we really as women should stand up and not, I feel very strongly about not depending on the man for an income. I mean, he doesn't want to provide for his children, like I said before, then, you know what? That's who you are. Which brings me back to when you're first dating the person, you may want to find out who
find
the character is, this person, and find out. And this should be a lesson learned.
But
for
the
all.
Problem is you got to look at the behavior, which you've said in the past, instead of listening to what they're saying, because they're saying all the right things, but their behavior is not following.
And we got to pay attention to that, because it shouldn't be any surprise that now we're in this situation, and that person, he doesn't have a change of personality. He was who he was all along.
The other thing, the other point I wanted to make is, I know we're talking about like when they manufacture this deadbeat, it's a certain percentage, because in New York, it's a percentage of your income. And like you said, you made more money, therefore you pay more money.
Mm-hmm.
And the child's expenses don't necessarily go up. And the other point I want to make is that the is the dad creating those expenses? Because the thing is like, how would you ever have a situation like, let's say in a business, for instance, where you had a certain budget money to spend? Right, you were given this budget and money to spend, and you could spend it any way that you wanted, and there was no accountability for the money. I mean, do you think that business would actually...
it wouldn't be self-propelling.
It wouldn't be self-propelling. And then let's say the parent company, who was paying this budget, all of a sudden started making a lot more money, and then the government came down and they said, oh, you know, because you're making more money, this company now gets more money to spend, and it doesn't matter where they spend it.
It's misappropriation.
It's so yeah. And how is that even legal? Like, I don't even understand that.
I thought we lived in a country free enterprise, right?
Free enterprise,
so we can open
capitalism.
Up our own business, and we can run it under like without government regulation.
It's a disincentive, isn't it?
Yes, it's a disincentive. Exactly. Why would you want to make more money?
Yeah.
Why do you want to go make more money?
Because if you do, the government's going to take it one way
They're
or another.
They're just going to take it.
Yeah, so that's not really empowering anybody or encouraging them.
So besides
them
to be, what?
And it's furthest away from the needs of the children, which is what you were referring
exactly.
to. It's furthest away.
Exactly.
It's like no
it's
longer
not,
a needs, you know, a needs-based
No, it's not
system.
About in the best interest of the child.
It's not in the best interest
right.
at all.
Right. So, so what happens with that money? I mean, what happens with the extra money? It's like you're going now, you're making, let's say you're making $20,000 more a year. They're going to take 17%
of that money. Well, you were talking about
money.
The one person with the $900,000 income and then $300,000.
Brendan Fraser from Connecticut.
Okay.
Actually, I have a guy who wants to go visit Brendan now. He wants to go
well,
and visit
go.
Him.
Let's go. I go with you because I want to see how this lifestyle is. I mean,
I don't understand. Like, each kid is getting $300,000 a year. Like, they could live on their... I mean, you know, who's getting $300,000
a year? We're in a competitive type of lifestyle in a market that's not socialist. It's, you know, we're capitalists.
Yes.
So we're in
we are
business.
Moving towards socialism. Where,
yeah, we know that. We see that. And we feel that. And this is a good example of what it's all about.
Right.
But as a capitalist, I want to know that if I'm going to put some extra effort into something or extra money in an investment, I want to know it's going to come back in some kind of reward.
Absolutely.
And there's all kinds of disincentives in making new money in the legal system in court.
Right.
And that's what we should know.
Absolutely. And talking about court, there's a divorce attorney that's really good on Long Island. His name's Robert Hiltzik, and his phone number is 516-308-4674.
And what is it about him that you like so much?
Well, the thing that I like about Robert is like he'll talk to you about your case. He won't just like kind of bring you along and you're
and
in
the meter isn't running.
Well, you stay in the you don't stay in the dark is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
He makes sure that you know about every aspect of this, and he gives you his cell phone and he talks to you, and he doesn't necessarily build for every minute. But, I mean, he is in business and he is there to make money. But the difference is he cares. And he does understand.
And he wants to make sure that you're clear as to what's going on. He doesn't just take the case and
right.
run with it.
Exactly. And he understands parental alienation syndrome, which is extremely
rare. Prevalent, which we're hearing more and more about.
Extremely rare with other attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important. So if you're really looking for a good, if you want to go that adversarial route, if you have to go that adversarial route, obviously we like mediation. But if you need to go that route, Robert's your guy. And he's at 516-308-4674.
And we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloan Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music
Power Hour.
At 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin.
And Sloan.
Live Thursdays at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome back to New Beginnings. We're talking here with Chris DiMaggio. We were talking about the false sense of entitlement that some of these, I'm going to just generalize, women have.
Right.
And I see it more with women.
This is where the manufacture part comes into play, right? It's this entitlement that's created.
But I don't understand, like, how someone can sit and bitch about how they don't get the child support and feel okay about that. I just feel like there's a sickening about, like, what about their pride and integrity? Like, he owes me.
Well,
he doesn't owe you anything.
Well, this is the thing. It's like you're married for 10 years, right? You have kids. The kids are at it. Let's say it's preschool before kindergarten. So now there's child care involved. But now the kids go to school. Now they're all three, let's say, in elementary school.
Yeah. What are you doing
from 9 to 3? What are you doing? But it sounds like you're just bitching about, you know, give me the child support.
Right, so that they can go to Curbs or go have lunch with their friends.
Yeah.
I just find that offensive as a woman because we fought so much for our equality and equal rights, and now some of these women are setting us back 100 years.
A little more sex 101 on you. The gender of the female will more likely, this is statistically proven, more likely go to a system to advance or to recover what's not delivered by the male
And who's encouraging them
fashion.
To go to the system?
It's something that's inherent in females to use whatever systems are available to get power. They don't have power.
So you're saying instead of them doing it themselves, they'll utilize something else.
Right, but that's inherent in their biology for the most part. Now I know that's anti what the feminists are trying to do.
It's anti-feminist.
I was a former feminist back in the early 70s.
I remember
very well what all that was about.
How long did that last? You're a former feminist.
Philosophically for quite a while.
Okay, well.
I mean, I'm for women's rights in a lot of different areas, equal work, equal pay, all that stuff. But I think,
right.
like any good idea, feminists took it too far.
Yeah.
I know they did, and they became the man haters. So we really need
to
be
equal. Don't want to be, I mean, it's okay to be a woman, and it's okay to be a man. You know,
we need to work together.
Feminism was set in place so that you could vote, so that you can earn a degree, mm-hmm. so that you could make
gain
as much money, gain
independence,
work, make as much money as the male counterpart. That's the reason
that was
why
the point of
we
it. It
are there.
Yes.
We're there.
We're already there, right?
We're there. Mm-hmm. So but why do you need feminists anymore?
Because they have the power politically. They're maintaining political power mostly on the Democratic side of the equation.
Right.
And as long as, like in New York, we're democratically controlled for 80 straight years.
Yeah.
So New York, we're going to get lots of feminism.
Well, you talked about Helene Weinstein from the right. Judiciary Committee. I mean, she's been for 20 years, she's been in office,
right.
at least. I don't even know how long, but it's more than 20 years.
It's about 25 years.
And she's holding us up. I mean, I went there this week, and she's talking to her legal counsel's talking about they don't like presumption in the law. It's like,
because they want to maintain protection, excuse me, Dana, they want to maintain the protection of females in the divorce when the separation occurs. They feel there's a loss of power. Because men are more powerful in general. That's their intimidating use of language.
So they feel like if the tables are turned and it becomes a level playing field.
Right. The women will lose.
The women will lose.
And in reality, when we're talking about power-based conversations, and men tend to have that control.
Right.
So I understood why women wanted to advance
right.
in that area.
Right, right. So how do you feel about that, Dana? I mean,
well, I feel like women are gained a lot of power, too. I don't really see us as,
you
know, second
powerful?
Class.
Do you
Absolutely,
feel powerful?
Absolutely, I do. I feel more powerful.
Do you feel like you need a system to help you out?
I don't really feel that way. I haven't gone to the system. I've been in this separation for quite a number of years because I'm avoiding the system because I don't want them interfering.
Right.
And many people say, no, take them to court, take them to court. You know what? No, I think that I don't want to be a number or a case number. I think, I work with him
right.
as much as I can.
Uh-huh.
And I've been, like I said, very fair.
Right.
But I don't feel inferior to him.
But let me bring it, because I know we talked about this in one of our previous shows about how men communicate and about how women communicate. And this kind of maybe goes back to the same thing. But men are very direct. Like they say what they want, they say what they need, and they're just out there. And women kind of beat around the bush, and they kind of do it like, it's like, oh,
you haven't been in my household. I say it is, and this is like, every time I try to talk to him, he's like, I can't talk to you right now.
Yeah, but
go.
No, that's standard.
Right.
Here we go, Sex 101
yes.
popping up again.
Uh-huh. Right, right.
Men tend to do what you described, and women will verbalize the connection between it. They'll try to gain in conversation what they can't gain in terms of what other impetus the man is trying to get
right.
deliver. So
right.
men will deliver that.
They
just power
say
base.
It.
This is what it is.
Right.
What are you going to do with it now?
Yeah.
Why would you do something else? This is the way it is. And
right.
I can fix it. You know,
right.
and all these other.
I can fix it. Right.
Everything
that's the
else is right
say.
On top of that. Where women want to program in that frontal lobe they have, and they yeah. want to go back and forth with everything,
mm-hmm.
and communicate with themselves about it and thought.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and they go to their friends, and they go to their mother, and
right.
they get
support
all
network,
this support
right.
because you
network.
Can't get enough conversation from your male.
No, that's true, and that's
yeah.
why we're trying
right.
to improve the communication with your partner,
right.
so that you don't have to rely on other sources that are not even part of the relationship. You're
sure.
sharing intimate thoughts and things that are going on that are outside your relationship.
Yes, which is a bad thing.
Which is a terrible thing.
Horrible.
So I think that besides that, I think
mm-hmm.
that, for me,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I can, I know what I want.
Right.
And I just go out and fight for what it is that I want. Do I rely on other people to
yeah.
help me out? No.
Yeah.
But I think that we as women have been encouraged to go to the system, and I agree
with you.
I think
you're unique.
What about, all right, going back back to the
she's
domestic violence.
Yeah,
she's definitely unique.
Absolutely.
But the domestic violence is, when we talked about that a couple of weeks, was that that's probably the only time when you run and call the police,
mm-hmm.
because you can't fight that by yourself,
yes.
right? You have order of protection.
Right.
Other
well,
than that, when, if you're, I don't feel intimidated by
mm-hmm.
men.
Right.
And
we
as women shouldn't feel intimidated anymore.
I mean, that's the
whole over. I think you're using it as an excuse to put yourself in an inferior position.
Well, no, I don't know if it's
it's cultural.
It's cultural.
Okay.
It's,
yeah.
it's,
well, you know what? Stop talking to your antiquated mother's, traditional
right.
thoughts.
Yes.
And say, look at what we're in. We're in a modern family, modern marriage now.
Yes, we are in
All
a modern
right?
marriage. I mean, you're seeing more. I mean, there was just recently a Tide commercial where they had the dad doing the laundry.
It's great.
So
yes.
it's like, here we are. And, I know the yes. Times came out with an article where they had a group of dads in Central Park that were, they weren't working anymore and they were watching the kids. So this is starting to occur. It took this recession to create that.
And also there's the slight increase in fathers getting custody, and I include myself in that situation. Mm-hmm. I brought up my son, mm-hmm. And he needed to be taken care of in every way that what would be traditionally a female role.
Mm-hmm.
And I did all the dishes and the laundry and all that stuff.
You
I did all that
right.
stuff. To me, I have to admit, when people say, I don't know, not too many people say this actually, but I do. Motherhood is one of the most difficult jobs there is.
Right.
Uh-huh. And being a father doing motherhood work.
Yeah, is even more difficult.
I really can relate to that. I'd
I
rather do almost anything
difficult.
Else, well, but I did a good
it,
job.
Right? You had to learn it because you didn't grow up.
No, I did grow up like that. I was the oldest of three boys. My mother taught me how to sew and cook and everything by the time I was 13 years old.
And it's so terrific.
And but I was a football, basketball, and baseball player. How do you do all of those things? I played all those sports in high school, so when I came home and I had to cook for my younger brothers, there's a big age discrepancy. I was much older.
But the thing that I see different, and that's why I kind of say I think it's harder for the dads. You say motherhood is the most difficult job. I think motherhood for dads is even harder.
Yeah, and I think a better way to describe it. Yeah.
The reason is because I see the culture around me. I also have my son half the time, and when I reach out to families for play dates and things like that, I get completely ignored because I'm a dad.
Yeah,
so
they're not expecting.
It's like, oh, you know, let me put my wife on.
I know.
Or have your wife.
I have to ask
call.
Her.
Unfortunately, I totally get what you're talking about. Being there for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know. It's a
we need
it's
to
a tough
sort
thing.
Of
and this is happening
more
right
aware.
Now. That's happening right now. So mm-hmm. I mean, my son's 5 years old, and it's happening.
But
now.
In the role, whatever role you decide to take. I think that your role as a father has mm-hmm. been diminished over the years, especially since the matrimonial law took its place in the 60s and has carried itself forward.
Right.
So the last 20, that's why I call in my article the Great Parental Alienation Era, because we have now removed the father so much so that mm-hmm. their children are now growing up with mothers more influenced.
Yep.
And they look odd to me.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Even especially some of the boys, they look odd to me.
Listen, yeah, it comes down to whether the dad can't pay mm-hmm. and they are like resentful of mm-hmm. him and they push him out of the family, what's more important? If the dad can't pay, isn't it more important to just have him in the children's lives?
Well, this is actually a discussion.
Use him as a babysitter then and
absolutely.
Go and get a job.
Whatever.
I want to get into this discussion. In the next segment, because I think there's a lot to talk about when it comes to the effects of the child and what we're doing to the child when this is happening. For the sake of money, what are we doing to the child? And before we do that, I want to talk about Laura Memesha, because she's a great real estate agent.
She's our realtor.
And if you're looking to basically find an apartment or a house.
Well, say the marital home has to be sold and you have to sell and buy. This is the woman you want to talk to.
Yeah, well, she'll stick with you. She talks a mile a minute. She's
she's very energetic.
She's very energetic and she's out there. She's
and she knows the market.
She really knows the market and you can trust her. She's mm-hmm. very honest. She works for Realty Advisors in Wantagh, and her phone number is 516-984-0343. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the effects on the child.
Okay.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to New Beginnings. We're here with Chris DiMaggio.
Dana Greco.
Oh, yeah, I'm Dana Greco and Don DeRose.
In case you forgot.
Yeah, and Janice.
That's right.
Okay, so we are almost done here. So, Chris, what was it that you wanted to bring up right now?
I actually was going to talk about the task force that I worked on for 2.5 years before I became a mediator in the late 90s.
Okay.
The only reason why I want to bring it up is it's going to lead into your segment now on children.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the 5 or 6 states at that time that had mandatory mediation programs. It was Florida, and I think California was developing one, Oklahoma, I don't remember the other states right now at the moment, proved in the relitigation rate was so low that children were performing better post-divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew many years ago that mediation was a successful way to handle it. That's why all three of us here are mediators.
Mm-hmm.
That because we break down the communication level during the mediation, we make them communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They work towards a solution together, mm-hmm. and you all know this, but that causes more health and less dysfunction. It's not that you can't eliminate it totally in mm-hmm. post-divorce because it all depends mm-hmm. on so many other factors.
Right.
But some of the major factors are eliminated by children watching their parents mm-hmm. perform a dissolution mm-hmm. with continuity, with
right.
a connection. They don't,
absolutely.
They're not.
How powerful
learning,
is that?
They're learning right. how right. to how address conflict. They're
absolutely.
Learning how to get past conflict. That's
and,
what
And what
doing.
Killed us in Nassau County was the domestic violence girls who are a part of the feminist organizations. They killed it. We
right.
were 2.5 years underway. We were about ready to put it forward.
Mm.
And,
oh, is that right?
Yeah. We were just about ready to create legislation, and the domestic violence people said, no, we don't want any women trying to agree with something.
Wow.
It was terrible.
Oh, my God.
What a sabotage.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
That's
See,
horrible.
Now, but where we were going, and we as couples that mm-hmm. divorce should take it upon ourselves as it being, you know, a role modeling, you know, an education for our kids,
right.
a safe environment for them. Of course, there's loss and there's sadness and there's, you know, a reduction in lifestyle. And, you know, nothing good comes out of divorce, really, if you can stay
right.
married and work through it, which is what we try to do. We kind of offer reconciliation so
yeah.
that we can keep those marriages together. But if it all ends and they have to divorce,
uh-huh.
how do we then protect the children?
Well, I wanted to bring up something because you mentioned something in the last segment about how it became about the money and what the child is thinking about the money. I mean, from personal experience, I know that I had one child who didn't talk to me for 3 years because I didn't pay his car insurance.
That is
and
just sad.
I didn't pay his car insurance because he got into 3 accidents and my insurance went to $7,000. And
so if you were in the home, you still wouldn't have paid the insurance.
I wouldn't have been able to pay, even if he was in the home. But my ex kept using it against me. Like, oh, there's your dad again. He's not paying, you
mm-hmm.
know. And you constantly hear this over time.
Well,
over
look,
time,
I grew up with that same thing. My parents were divorced, and I was living with my dad, actually, and that's a whole nother story. But when I'd go and visit my mom, she would play victim.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things were broken in the house. And I'd say, you know, what's the matter with this? What's the matter with that? Well, I can't replace it because your father doesn't pay me any child support. And she got me. It was so pathetic that I ended up getting so angry. And I ran over back to my dad's.
Right.
And I started screaming at him, what's the matter
yeah,
with you? And
see?
I regret that. Because
right.
now, of course, at 13, I had a different perspective. Because I'm like, why are you leaving her high and dry?
But you could have went another other way, instead of understanding what was going on, you could have went the other way and been like, yeah, why isn't he paying child support?
But you were the child that was hurt.
At that time, look at the effect a divorce created on her.
That's right.
And that's why you don't do the same thing now. No, because I saw her more as a victim.
Right, and you don't want to be the victim.
I just felt like, you know, she should go and get a job.
Did you tell your father that you were sorry?
Well, I guess he found out in other ways, yeah. I stayed with him. That was his reward.
Yeah.
But, again, the effects on the child today, again, we don't want to indulge them. I mean, to maintain a lifestyle, and then we hear some of these stories that, you know, they still want to have these, you know, very spoiled type of children and giving everything. I think
this is the thing. You know, the primary reason for child support is to keep the same standard of living. Like, that goes to the initial reason. It's impossible.
If one parent is out of the house and he has to pay for his expenses, how are you going to maintain that?
How can you?
You know what? She needs to get another job.
Right.
She needs to improve.
That's the only way. Get an advance. Work more hours.
Or
somebody needs to work more hours or more. Something needs to happen. What is this lifestyle we're talking about? These children?
What? Because they need another iPad?
Well, there's
they
no...
need
see,
a new... You know,
see, this
iPod,
is the effect I want to talk
iPhone.
About. Well, this is the thing, too. It's like, is it a bad thing for the kids to tighten their belts a little bit?
To
say, like, you
all.
Know what, instead of a $30 steak, you know, we're going to eat $10 steaks.
You know what it does, though? It creates a second tier of management within the family.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you're creating, the woman is creating a tier of relationship to all those things that the family has to take care of on one level. And then there's this other level that you'll come back into now as a payer, mm-hmm. trying to sequence it out, what money has to go to where and what advances we can make. It becomes another tier of decision making a child has to make as to where a preferred parent would suddenly show up.
Which is a good thing. I think that's a good thing.
It's not only good, it's also bad.
Why is that? Because
it's too difficult for a kid to communicate within themselves mm-hmm. a better parent or a lesser parent mm-hmm. or a more qualified parent or a less qualified parent.
Right.
Or a more favorable parent to get something from or a less favorable parent. There's too much management.
Right, that's true. But I don't think it's a bad thing where a child then goes into a store and instead of saying, okay, I want that, I want that, I want that,
which
I want that,
and getting,
and then replace that with, you know what, we have a budget of $10. Mm-hmm. You know, pick one thing out or pick something out of the time.
You're re-describing the same thing I was just saying.
I know.
What they should say is, look, I gave you the peace and harmony in your home now because we got rid of your dad.
Right.
So isn't that worth something?
Is that what they say?
You know what I mean? No.
Whoa.
But I mean, if like...
Just take a knife and stab me in the heart.
Listen, Johnny, you know, we gave you the divorce.
Right.
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 Your parents aren't fighting
anymore. Oh, by the way, many women feel that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've heard that. That's why she's saying
that. Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Taking the tension out of the
home. She doesn't feel that, but...
Kids needed those toys as distractions. Kids needed the toys as distractions because their parents were fighting all the time.
Yes,
they kept giving and giving. Now they reward the kids because they feel like there's a loss and like, oh, he's coming from a broken home.
Let me buy him. Guilt, which everybody has.
You got to get rid of the guilt.
You have to get rid of the guilt.
One thing I want to say
is
that
you can't get rid of the guilt, but you have to work through it. You overcome it.
Work through it.
You still have it, but you can't.
Another management system.
Well, there's right.
That's right.
But those have to work through the guilt because you can't indulge your child based on guilt. You're doing harm to the child.
You're actually better off having them tighten their belts and having them think about money.
The more money you have, the more you want.
Teach them how to survive.
Right.
Teach them how to survive in the world.
Right. You got to give them life skills.
Right.
And you're just indulging them.
I almost hate to say this, but recent statistics show from California, the studies, the long-term studies, that if there were an opportunity, it's the opposite here in New York, by the way, if there were an opportunity to give a young adult or a teenager, I think it's the grade 8 to 15,
mm-hmm.
One of those parents had to be the custodial parent. They're favoring fathers now instead of mothers.
Why is that?
Because the fathers tend to think forward,
feet.
Just like you said. Mm. Mm-hmm. Teach them how to do things.
Right.
That's
mm-hmm.
what fathers do. Mothers are more protectors.
Well, that comes from the caveman days, right? When they were nesters, they had to protect
the home.
Yeah, but
what happened in the 30 years prior that we couldn't figure that out?
Right.
Well, listen, children before were able to learn life skills by the age of 7, right? Way back. Mm-hmm. Where they weren't being protected by the moms. They were out there working in the fields and working on, you know, life skills.
Right.
Now they're saying kids have gotten so soft.
Exactly, right.
And that the parents are saying, you don't have to do any chores. You have to focus on school.
Right.
So now education has become sort of the, I guess...
But it's a socialistic attitude because we're teaching people to be victims. We're helping people be victims.
Right.
And, you know, the fact is, you know, how many people, you know, because I know, you know, we went through this, you know, vote just recently. And, you know, Obama, I kind of look at as more of a socialist.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's pushing
people to be more dependent on the government.
Be dependent. Let the government help you. Like, we'll help you get through this. Well, you know what? Enabling in a positive way is a good thing, but enabling in a negative way is a bad thing. And I just feel like we're enabling in a negative way, and it kind of goes back to the same thing with children, where we're enabling them in a bad way. They're getting these entitlements where then when they're 20, 21, 22,
that's why
they're
still
staying
living
at home.
Yeah, and I don't believe in that. I know. I'm against that,
I know
too.
You are, and I know that you've already told your child.
Go to school and you work.
Right, and when you come out.
And you do the chores. It's not all about focusing on your studies.
Yeah.
All right. Because half that stuff is all about self-discipline anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I think that you're going through all the schooling and the subjects is to help you develop that self-discipline so that when you have a job, you'll continue to be motivated.
Right.
Right. You know you have deadlines and responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. I hope I didn't diminish the females in this listening audience, but actually the best parent is two parents. We should always say.
Oh, yes,
there's
absolutely.
Always something to be had from
there's
either sex.
Both have absolutely. Something to offer.
And you're deprived if either one are missing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, not only is it the connection, it's not only the connection, it's also the fact that, like you just said, both people bring different things.
Sure.
Because we think differently.
Right.
And they learn in the negotiation, and a certain, I just want to add, a certain amount of fighting is okay.
Right.
A discussion, debate is okay, because the children are learning from this debate feature that the two parents are giving them.
Exactly.
When there's a lot of it, okay, then we have to consider that there's
a
problem.
Yeah, but they even said in a study last year, which is how shared parenting became got passed in Arizona, they said that they even in a high conflict situation, it was actually better that both parents were in the child's life.
Right.
In a high conflict, it was better that both of them were in their lives, which is
because
against
they're not divorcing their parents.
No,
all right, so that wraps it up for today, and we'll have this show on our website, mediationandcounseling.com, and we appreciate, Chris, you joining us
today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We will be taping a show this week, and that will be aired sometime in the next month, so more to come on that.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm Dana.
And I'm Don.
We are certified mediators, and I am a family and couples licensed therapist and author of Please Don't Buy Me Ice Cream.
Our show, New Beginnings, is about helping you and your family recover financially and emotionally and start the beginning of your life.
We'll answer your questions on divorce, family court, co-parenting, personal development, new relationships, blending families, and more.
Dana and I will bring you to a place of empowerment and belief that even though marriages may end, families are forever.
Join us every Monday starting September 10th at 10 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern, on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Everywhere you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. it's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neo Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neo Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
TalkingAlternative.com.